Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your Spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power, send us
You see my smile, right? So good to see you, Wesley families. You know what? This morning, this guy was waiting for me. Oh, somebody gave me a present, and he says, "Hello, Pastor Paul, my name is Sonny." Okay. And my friend over here, a bee, is Buzz. We have heard that you all human have been going through a lot of crazy and challenging stuff lately. Let me give you an advice. And she says, advice from a sunflower. Be bright, sunny, and positive. Look at the skies. Always when we have storm, you know that's not the end. We know above the cloud there is sun. And we will have sunshine again. And at the end of this note, it says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice. Amen. Amen. And now let's greet one another. You are at the right time, in the right place, with?
Right.
Amen. Here in the sanctuary and home. I see many of you, over 30 people, are joining our online worship. So good to see you. And we have a few announcements. You know what? The first Sunday of October, we will have something new. Maybe for that Sunday only, we will have drive-in service in our parking lot. Yes. Online people, you can join us. You can come, you can drive, come, and you can stay in your car, and we will stream our worship on radio. That's going to be the Communion Sunday, World Communion Sunday. So we will have worship. Not in the sanctuary, but in the parking lot. Please remember that. And flowers, they are beautiful. That was given by Jin Mo in honor of her husband, Reverend Thomas Mo. I think it's his birthday. So they are so beautiful. Thank you very much. And we have Erin Graves. She's going to lead us in our worship. Now, let's gather our mind and our soul, and worship God together.
Please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. Prayer is the language of the Spirit. Prayer is our connection with God. Prayer nourishes us, comforts us, and strengthens us. We need prayer as we need the air we breathe. Let us gather as a people of hope, offering our prayers of praise to God. Now please join us in the opening hymn, number 451, verses 1 and 2, Be Thou My Vision.
First in my heart, great God of heaven.
time for us to share our joys and concerns. During the week, we have three people who have birthday this week. Tomorrow is Lee Michael's birthday. Congratulations. Oh, no, happy birthday. And this coming Wednesday is J.P. Papusia and Diantha Wentling. Happy birthday. And during the week, we have three couples who have wedding anniversary. Dave and Sharon Six. Tomorrow, that's going to be their 57th wedding anniversary. And Wednesday, Louis and Barb Trick. And Thursday, Al and Diane Rood. Congratulations. And I heard it was 60th anniversary last week, right? I mentioned your anniversary, but I didn't know it was 60. Congratulations. And I have a joy. During the week, there was a meeting. We have ordination interview team in our district and conference, and our precious choir director, Dylan, he passed his interview unanimously, and everybody welcomed him. He's so loved, and congratulations. And he's now a declared candidate on his ordination journey. I was so proud of you. Yes. And please pray, continue to pray for the people in the West Coast. I know many of our church family, they have family members and relatives and friends. They live in the West Side, California, Portland, and Washington State. It's been so tough. The wildfire has been really wild. Please pray for the people over there, and firefighters and medical peoples. And if you want to donate them, please write down on your check U.S. Disaster Relief, and 100% will go directly to help the people over there. And I think last week was really sad. During the week, we had 911, 19th anniversary. We remember the people. And the day before 911 was World Suicide Awareness Day. So many people feel in this coronavirus season depressed, frustrated, and even anger, upset. But let's have one another in our prayers and support. We are meant to take care of one another. And if you don't find anyone to call, please call me. You have my phone number and you have my number, so please. And please know you are not alone, but surrounded by many. And during this whole school year, please continue to pray for our student. Okay, Ronin. He has shark on his mask. Please pray for our student, parents, teachers, and school staff in your prayers. And also remember many of our church members whose family members, relatives, and friends, they got infected by the virus, and some of them, they lost their beloved ones. Please remember them in your prayers. Now, let's turn to God and pray together. Gracious God, give us eyes to see you in our lives. Give us eyes to recognize your presence and all you are doing in our lives. And give us mind to express our gratitude for your love for us. And give us loving and caring heart, big enough to share your love for one another. Lord, this morning, we pray for the wounds, the people who got injured, of many places of the world. God, so many people, they lost their beloved ones, they lost their property, and they are now scared. Remember the people who got infected or who got injured by Hurricane Laura and wildfire in the West Coast. Remember those who got hurt and lost their beloved ones and their property. Give them the hope that only you can provide. And give your strength to many medical people, firefighters over there. And let them know that they are not alone, and help us to be your hands and voice to give love to them and hope to one another. God, this morning we pray for the leaders of this country. Inspire our leaders who govern and rule. Let them know the teachings of Jesus Christ, the love, care, compassion, and justice. And give us hope that we may never give up and have hope and dream in you. Loving God, we pray for those of us who are having difficulties in many ways, especially those who are sick and ill. Remember each one of them, each one of their names, and let them know they are not alone. We surround them in our prayers, and let them feel you. Let them feel you. Lord, we need you. Every day we need you. You are the source of life. You bring mystery in our lives. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our heart and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. And we have hymn, Near to the Heart of God, verse 1.
Today's scripture reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 9b through 13. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Elijah meets God at Oriz. He said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In this pandemic era, I have heard many people have gained a lot. You know what? I gained about 7 pounds. And a friend of mine talked to me, "You know what, Paul? It is COVID-19 era. So if you have gained 19 pounds yet, it's okay." And now I kind of like him. In our sanctuary, we have Jack Glacier, one of our church members. He told me he gained a lot. I know how many pounds he gained, but I'm not going to tell you. You may want to see him. You know what? I think he gained all the muscles on him. Now he looks like a movie star. If you have not started yet, I want to encourage you to start exercise or even 15 minutes of walking. It will give you strength in our bodies and strengthen your immune system. We need exercise and workout to strengthen our body. And we need to exercise and work out for our spirit, our resilience in our faith journey. And one of the many ways to have strength and resilience in our faith, that is prayer. So let's talk about that. So today we have Prophet Elijah, famous guy. Elijah was one of the most dynamic person in the Old Testament, and he is mentioned more than 30 times in the New Testament. When he witnessed Jesus' transfiguration, he saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So Elijah is almost same level as Moses. Okay. But in the book of James, the letter of James, his prayer lives, it is mentioned, despite all he did and all the miracles he performed, James is telling us, Elijah, he was a person just like us, just like you and me, an ordinary person. In James chapter 5, he was subject to the same temptation, same depression, same struggle, and same up and down, which affect you and me, especially in this pandemic era. He's just like us. We don't know much about him. We know he came from a small village in northern Israel. Other than, we don't know anything about him. But his name, Elijah, means the Lord is God. The Lord is God. He appears in the capital city of Samaria, northern kingdom, during the reign of King Ahab. It was about 900 years before Christ, and in his time, Israel, they were good. They were politically and economically prospering under the reign of King Ahab. Everything was good, looked good. And many biblical scholars agree that it was economically a golden era in Israel's history. But the only problem is King Ahab was doing evil things. And Ahab provoked the Lord God to anger more than any other kings of Israel. And Ahab married Jezebel, who was known for her wickedness. Not only King Ahab and Jezebel, but also the people of Israel in their time. They adopted pagan worship with prosperity theology and disobeyed God's commandment. It was 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago. They thought they could live without God. They thought they didn't need God anymore because they had everything they needed. And because all they needed was not God who created and who provided life to them and who sustained their lives. What they thought they needed was what they would have: more property and more reputation and anything that they can have. And of course, the spiritual condition of Israelite. It couldn't have been worse than any other time, the Bible says. That's why God sent Elijah. God used Elijah in a national crisis to get the nation of Israel to wake up before it was too late. It's a national spiritual crisis. While meditating on Elijah, I was caught up by the national spiritual crisis of his time, because I see so many common things in our time in the 21st century. It is our story. How is the spiritual condition of our time? Guess what? In a world we live, we experience so many new things, mostly based on technology and development, which already changed and is still changing our lives, the pattern of our lifestyle, our thoughts, and our behaviors. In a book, Lighten Our Darkness, Douglas Hall points out, in a world we live, people trust that we may find our salvation in technology and development, which means if we make more development, we would be saved by technology. Our well-being will be achieved by development, and we will solve global poverty and so many other problems. Yes, we know technology and development have brought convenience and a certain level of well-being. If we are sick, we go to hospital, we go to see a doctor, and they provide the best service, a better service that humanity has never had before. And what if this pandemic happened a couple of decades ago? We didn't have the internet at the time. I don't think that I can imagine that. But what it points is, technology cannot be our salvation. It does bring convenience and a certain level of happiness and well-being, but it doesn't bring ultimate happiness in the end, because we are not machine. We are spiritual beings. The Bible says we human beings are created in God's image. In a theological term, it is imago Dei, imago Dei, which means the image of God, the image of God in us. Yes, you and I, we are spiritual beings. We think, we love, and we do have compassion for one another, and we help, and we find happiness and spiritual well-being when we live with other people in harmony, peace, and love. And we find happiness, we help other people, and healthy, make a healthy relationship with God and one another. Why? Because that is who we are, our nature. We are created in God's image. Surely in our human history, there have been always greedy people who offend others and who take advantage of others to have more and more. And now in our time, we know a person's success of life is mostly measured not by how they live their lives in their relationship with God and others, but measured by what they have. That is our culture. And we see many people put themselves, not God, put themselves in the center of their lives. We need to think about that. It is like my life is my own, yes, somehow. And it goes further. What matters to me is what I have and what makes me look good, what makes me comfortable, even though that might cause harm to other people. It is like the mentality that God has nothing to do with my life. And that is called the imago hominis, which means people put themselves in God's position in their lives. In many ways, we find so many common things that we find in the Bible in Elijah's time. So God sent Elijah to give a warning. And he prophesied, because of the wickedness around us, there will be neither rain nor dew in the next few years. Can you imagine that? No rain in the few years. We have been in this pandemic era for half a year. I think it's been quite a long time, but it's been a year. And God's not going to give you rain unless I ask God. That is what Elijah prophesied. And now Elijah's message became a reality and a huge, huge challenge to the king, queen, and the people of Israel. And many of you remember the story in the 1 Kings chapter 18, that at Mount Carmel, Elijah confronted 850 prophets. 850 prophets. 450 prophets of Baal and 400 of Asherah. Baal and Asherah, they are the gods of prosperity and sex, which King Ahab and Jezebel supported. So in the middle of the drought, 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah, they prayed to their God to show the evidence that their gods are the God, making fire. But it didn't work. But Elijah prayed, God, let it be known this day that you are the God of the universe. Answer me. Show us that you are the God. Then what happened? Fire fell down on Elijah's altar, and the rain immediately followed by his prayer. But at this moment, I want us to think about what Elijah might have felt. What might he felt when he confronted the mighty king, queen, who didn't trust God? What do you think he might think when he confronted 850 people, prophets? They were the leaders of the country, risking his own life. He might have felt lonely. He might have felt scared. At some point, he might have been confused. You know what? If I were him, I don't think that I would be enough. I mean, strong enough to stand against 850 people. But in spite of all the confusion and fear, he boldly believed in God and confronted the people who didn't trust in God. And our scripture reading is the story after the Elijah's victory over King Ahab, Jezebel, and 850 prophets. He won. But after, even after the victory, even though God showed Elijah was right, King Ahab never repented, and he tried to kill Elijah. And Elijah literally fled from King Ahab for his life. He was hiding. He was hiding in the Mount of Carmel. He talked to God in his prayer. God, I am left alone. They are seeking my life. You see, he felt lonely, frustrated, depressed, and dejected. But he never stopped praying to God. What we see in his prayer lives is he always prays, no matter where he was, no matter what happened to him. Even in the darkest moment of his life, even when people don't understand him, he never gave up. And we can feel that in Psalm 23. Even though I walk through the darkest valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because God, you are with me. You are with me. Elijah always humbly comes before God, and even in the mountain alone, he hears God's voice in his prayer. And this is my hope and prayer. We all pray to God and humbly come before God and listen to God. God is nudging and speaking to us in our faith journey. You know what? In our scripture reading, we find God's sense of humor. God says he's now alone. He's so afraid, and Elijah is hiding in the mountain to save his life, and God is saying to Elijah, what are you doing there? What are you doing, Elijah? If I were Elijah, I would say, God, are you serious? Don't you see I'm hiding for my life? I'm dying. But God is calling Elijah to stand up from where he was hiding for his life. It is like God saying, what are you doing, my beloved one? I am with you. Even at the moment you feel the most vulnerable and weak, you feel lonely and frustrated, you know what? I am with you, my beloved one. I found a picture. In the picture, one man is lying down on the ground. It seems he doesn't have any power at all. Any power. It seems he gave up. Then a bird is trying to lift him up. And there is a note on the picture, when you want to give up, when you want to give up, you don't have any power, the Holy Spirit lifts you up. In this picture, I see Elijah. And in this picture, I see myself. In this picture, do you see yourself? We need Elijah's prayer life. And God will lift us up in our journey. Amen. I have some water. You know the story. Half filled glass of water. We know that. Some people will say, oh, I have half-filled water. That's a lot. Some people will say, oh, I have only half. And we say, that is about our attitude and gratitude. But with our prayer life, we need to remember that there is God who will refill the water in our lives as we seek God and pray to God always. As we break the bread, which represents the body of Jesus Christ, and share the cup, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ, we remember God's unconditional love, and we will find always hope in Christ. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and at home, and no matter where the people of yours gathered. God bless us. We know you remember each one of us and love us. And bless these elements of bread and wine. Make them the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that we may be the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make us one in your name. Give us strength to find you, and give us insight to know your will, and give us courage to live our lives by your will. Amen. So please peel the first layer. This is the body of Christ. Let's take it. And the second layer. This is the blood of Jesus Christ who died for us. You know what? I see Jesus in you. And I see hope and peace in you. And I believe God is working in our community and beyond as we gathered in God's name, in Jesus' name. And I'm so grateful that we carry on our precious ministry. During the week, we have trustee meeting and nomination meeting. By the way, we will celebrate the ministry of our church conference. It's going to be on November 3rd. Probably it will be on Zoom. And we will celebrate all the ministry we have done, even in this pandemic era. And I believe God is so happy and pleased with us. And I find hope and future. And with all the gratitude that God has done in our lives and in our community and beyond, this time, let us present ourselves and our time and our resources before God.
From whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Please join me in the prayer. May our gifts become instruments of your truth and examples of your love. Plant new hope with these gifts and build a world of justice with the ministries we dedicate to you now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Wow, I love it. It's my grandma's favorite. We have verse 1 and 3. Those of us who join us online worship, please shout it out, sing loud. And in the sanctuary, you may hum or sing in a lower voice, but I think nothing can stop us singing and praising God. So let's sing.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand. Guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
Please join me in an attitude of prayer and receive the benediction. As we go into the world, let us go boldly in the love of God as the disciples of Jesus Christ to be reminded that God is with us, listening to us, nudging us, and speaking to us, even in the most vulnerable moment and dark moment. And we find hope and courage in Jesus Christ. So now go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit, filled with faith and hope, and remember the love of Jesus Christ all the time. May God be present, guide you, and empower you today, tomorrow, and more. Amen.
Counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again, till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet, till we meet.